Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's stand together, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. We'll read down through verse 25. But 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now notice verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the blessings of today. We thank you that we can celebrate the 50th anniversary of Dennis and Sharon Smith. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray now that as we leave in a little bit, we can say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, I'm sure that 50 years ago when Dennis and Sharon were married, and I believe it was in this very room, and my dad was the one that performed the ceremony, but I'm sure that some people gave them gifts. I wonder, Brother Rush, if we can sell them at your antique place. 50 years, would that work? No? Maybe? But you know, those are nice to receive those gifts, but the most precious gift that one will ever receive is that of Jesus Christ. His priceless gift. Salvation comes only and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, a gift you don't work for. And our salvation is a gift that only Christ worked for. He paid for it with his shed blood. It says here that, for ye were as sheep going astray. Without the blood of Christ, we are lost and doomed and damned and headed for hell. But because he was willing to pay the price to take care of our sins, we can have the joy of eternal life. Dr. Doug Farrago writes, 80% of my patients, now 80%, I'm glad I don't see Dr. Doug Farrago, but 80% of my patients are overweight or inactive or smokers, drinkers, abusers, or whiners. I don't like that thought. These patients want their doctors to cure their lifestyle choice problems. And they are unrealistic, and they are a tremendous financial drain on the health system. I say that the same could be said of the spiritual concerns affecting many of today's believers. Their lifestyle choice problems have affected their spiritual health. How many decisions are made without considering our spiritual welfare? 2 Peter 3:11 says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness." Holy conversation, your spiritual lifestyles. How is your spiritual lifestyle today? I'm not talking at a Sunday service from 11 to 12 o'clock. I'm talking about Tuesday evening. I'm talking about Friday afternoon. How is our spiritual health? Dr. Earl K. Odom, president of the Bible Baptist Seminary when I was in college, had a yearly message entitled, "Consistency, Thou Art a Jewel, And what we need today are consistent Bible-believing Christians. Not born-again believers on Monday, but not on Tuesday. Consistency, that means staying true and faithful to the Word of God, to the Church of God, and to the people of God. No fluctuating. No wavering, vacillating, oscillating, or two-faced. Continually serving the Lord. Paul writes to his friend Timothy, saying, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The things of the world are more important to Demas than the things of Christ. How about in your life? Are the things of Christ of great importance? Are they priceless? Are they special? I hope so. Again, Paul wrote to Timothy when he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Through the years, I've seen many people that have erred from the faith because they have taken their eyes off the Lord and put it in other places. It says, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yesterday, my wife and I decided that we were going to do a couple of things away from the house. One of them was that she was wanting to see a friend's garden. And so we headed north on DeQuinder. Mistake. Because you know what DeQuinder passes? Yates Cider Mill. I told Donna, what are all these people doing? You can go over here to Vince and Joe's and buy cider. No? You got to go to Yates? Well, I think all of you were there yesterday and you took your friends. There were hundreds of people. It took us almost 15 minutes to get onto DeQuinder. Off DeQuinder onto what is that that goes north? Well, you know the intersection there? I guess you go from DeQuinder to DeQuinder, isn't it? And it's Avon right there at that corner. 15 minutes. And then once we got near it, people were walking all over the place. Well, then we decided to go to Rochester to the Arts and Apples Art Fair. Anybody there yesterday? None of you were there yesterday? There were 7 million people there yesterday. And I asked Donna on the way home, how many people do you think that were at Yates Cider Mill today and Arts and Apples, that huge art fair there in Rochester, how many of them are in church on Sunday? What's more important to people today? Apple cider or church? They'll stand, and were they not lined up there waiting to get inside? Lined up. Do you know when I got here this morning at 8 o'clock, nobody was waiting to get in the building? And as you can see, we could have more people in here. You know, the problem is people would rather be entertained than be in the house of the Lord. And that is happening also to those who are born again. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're reading through the book of 1 Samuel, you come to chapter 8. And in the day of Samuel, they wanted a king so they could be like other nations. You know what I have found in today's churches? They want to be like the world. We're not to be like the world. Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that we're to be like the world to win the world. We're told to be separate. We're to be different. We find that too many people have rejected the Lord for entertainment. Samuel prays to the Lord, and he says, what am I to do, Lord? And the Lord responds, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, Samuel, but they have rejected me, the Lord Jehovah, that I should not reign over them. See, we live in a world that serves gods. Now, they may not be the idols of the olden days of stone and wood, but we still serve other gods. The Lord told Samuel, they have forsaken me and served other gods. What are these other gods, you say? Well, would you say that money is a god? Hello? Money's a god. How about possessions? Now, I don't think it's wrong to have things. I believe that it's nice to have things, but we have to keep them in the right what? Perspective. God is to be first. How about physical appearance? Aren't we impressed by someone's appearance and we think, oh, they're more special than someone else? Now, I'll be honest with you. I have this body so that people won't think I'm special. I don't know what any of you said out there. I mean, I've worked 64 years for this body, folks. Mm-hmm. And it's paid off, did someone say? How about sports? Do you think they had more at the big house yesterday than we'll have in churches today in Sterling Heights? I wonder. I wonder how many people will be in the house of God today. And yet they charged a lot of money to go to the big house. Yeah. You know, the Lions are playing today. Some of you are saying, hurry up, I want to get home and watch them. But sports have become a god. They've become a god. How about entertainment? Yes. I understand that the new hockey arena / basketball arena is going to be opening up soon. And I understand they're having a concert here pretty soon. You know they asked me to come and sing. Some of you are still laughing. But you know the fact of the matter is they'll fill out that stadium. Was it Kid Rock? Kid Rock. What do you think would happen if I charged you to come hear me preach? How many of you would be here? Well, thank you. There, I got a hand right down here. But we'd love to be entertained. How many of you pay more for your cable TV and your satellite TV than you give to the house of God? See, the fact of the matter is entertainment means more to us than the Lord does. How about religion? Do you know that religion is a god? That there are those who are serving religion, but they're not serving the Lord. Their religion means an awful lot to them. But you say, well, doesn't religion mean God? No. There's only one way into heaven. It's not through religion. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. We serve many things. The other day, my wife and I were going up to Dow Gardens. That's D-O-W up in Midland, Michigan. And every time as we go north, we always have to stop at the Speedway station there in Flint. I have to fill the car up because the gas is usually cheaper up there at that station than it is down here. And, of course, Donna has to get her coffee fix. And as we walked in the other day, there was this man just pacing back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's on something. And he goes, I'm nervous, I'm nervous. Do you remember him saying that? He was going to a tattoo parlor. He was going to get his whole back tattooed. Folks, tattoos have become a god. You know, the fact of the matter is we have those who serve the body and they don't serve the Lord. He is the creator of the body, and we have those who ignore the creator. We have those who, because of whatever, have stopped serving the Lord. Jesus in his parable of the sower and the seed states, "But he that receiveth the seed," and that's the word of God, "into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and at once with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth," or endureth, "for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." I don't know how many people I have known through my 40-some years of working here at the church who have become offended because of the word of God. That there are those who will not come to church because they do not want to hear that they need to repent and get things right. Jesus continues, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfaithful." The deceitfulness of riches and of this world's goods. Be careful. Be careful. You have heard me say that the number one reason for divorce is selfishness. Selfishness. Now, we may use different terms. We can say, well, he was a gambler, or he was an alcoholic, or he was into immorality or pornography, or beating his wife, or she was beating her husband, and that happens a lot more than you think. But, you know, it all boils down to that one word of selfishness. My wants are more important than your wants. So I ask the question, what is the number one reason for unfaithfulness in the work of the Lord? Selfishness. My wants are more important than you are, God. Would you agree with that statement? Ooh, you're quiet out there. You know, sometimes it's awful lonely up here on the platform. You know why there's a pulpit up here that's solid? So you can't see my knees shaking. But the number one reason that people stop serving the Lord is selfishness. I want more than just you. In conclusion, do you like that word, conclusion? For some pastors, it really doesn't mean anything. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would, please. Verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good." Now, if you caught nothing else from today's message, this: eschew, or go in the other direction and do good. When I counsel people, and if you ever want to be counseled in my office, this is what I'm going to tell you. It all boils down to two words. The Bible says do good. I say do right. They're the same thing. Do good. Do right. Continuing, "Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Now, who is he going to hear when you pray? What did I just read there? Who? The righteous. So if someone that isn't in the will of the Lord prays,
Is he going to hear your prayer?
Then people get angry at God, don't they? He didn't hear my prayer. He didn't listen to me. Well, are you right with God? Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes? That you have to be righteous for him to hear your prayers. So don't be surprised when our prayers aren't answered if we're not living according to the will of the Lord. We need to live according to him. And his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that what? Do what? So those that do evil, the Lord is against you, right? He's against us. So we live in a world that's full of what? Evil. Yes? He's against us. And then we wonder why things happen that are bad and wrong. Because there's evil in this world. There's sin in this world. There's corruption in this world. There are those who are deceiving you right now. And you listen to them on your television and you listen to them as they sing music and they are deceiving you. But God is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who is good? Say it. Who's good? God is good. We need to be followers of him, yes? Verse 14. But, now remember, Peter is writing to people back around AD 60. Long time ago. But it's still true today. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. He could be writing that to some Christians today who in certain parts of the world are being persecuted for their faith in the Lord. And maybe you have been persecuted because of your faith. The Bible tells you that this is something that you can expect. Happy are ye. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The reason of your hope. Now, I can ask you this. Do you hope the Lions win today? Do you hope it? I mean, if you're a Lion fan, don't you? Don't you hope they go 16-0? Give everybody in the city of Detroit a heart attack? I mean, you can hope that somehow, and I understand this, the Detroit Tigers cannot win their division, but they can still make the wild card. Are you hoping that they'll do that? No, you're not hoping that. They stink. That she said it. But you know, we can hope for a lot of things. You may hope for a raise. You may hope that your children do really good in some activity. You can hope that, well, never mind. I won't say that one. But you can hope, right? But what should be your greatest hope? Eternal life. And that your family will know Christ as their Savior. Do you know what I can take to heaven? My sons, if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, right? Now, my wife knows the Lord, so she's going. My two sons have accepted Christ as their Savior. Their wives, not all of our grandchildren have yet, but hopefully soon. But that's my hope. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Verse 16. Having a good conscience. Is it important to have a good conscience? I believe it's good to have a good conscience. That you're right with the Lord. That you're right with one another. Notice. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your lifestyle in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. In other words, we need to do right, no matter the cost. So what's the very first thing you can do that's right? It's acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And then coming to the Savior and saying, Lord, would you please save me? I hope you've done that. But if you haven't, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. We're going to have you stand. Our musicians will come back to the instrument. Pastor Stephen's going to come and lead us in a song. And if you'd like to get things right with your Lord today, we'd be glad to have someone pray with you, or you can pray by yourself. Our song for this morning is 382, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. He's wanting you to come. He's wanting to be your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the salvation that we can have in Jesus Christ. Bless this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.